here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Okay, I got some great spreads.
How many for this instance? How many for this instance? And we can even go duck versus goose, or we can stay in the goose realm.
Oh.
Should we just stick in the goose realm?
Duck, I mean, if we're talking about field duck spreads, you're going to want to use 2 to 5 spinners, and that's it. And whatever else you think makes you happy. End of discussion.
End of discussion.
We covered that quickly. water spreads for ducks. You're going to want to set them out to whatever way you want to make yourself happy. And bingo, you're done.
Okay, we just started apparently, so we'll just go with it. Waterfall Wednesday.
Wednesday. Here we go. Let's do it.
We did decoys.
So we covered ducks
field last week. So let's just do decoy spreads this week.
Yeah. So we've covered field mallards and field ducks. Now we've covered water spreads. God, I hunted with this guy. He's like, we got to put these decoys in a line. And then anytime I threw a decoy that was like 1 foot off that goddamn line, he goes, that's a stopper. I'm like,
oh my God.
Okay, well, you know what?
It's like on a diver line kind of a thing?
Yeah. And we pass shot all morning anyways, you know, like.
That's 98% of diver hunting is pass shooting.
I had a blast. I had fun. I'm not mad at the guy for nothing, but. It was just silly to me. A little silly, but I still enjoyed myself immensely.
Like a lot of things, people are far too dogmatic in their...
Well, especially about decoys.
Decoy theories. And like if something... I mean, how many times... I joke like when someone asks me like, well, how do you want to run these decoys? And I go, I don't know, however you want to do it. Because I go, I've never set a decoy right once in my life if I set them with somebody else. Because I could put a decoy out there... And so I'll turn around and I see somebody behind me fixing the decoys I just put down.
Right. And then people will just.
So clearly I don't know what I'm doing.
And now we can get into like. I like to do like big spread versus small spread. For water, typically you're always going to want to run as many decoys as you can. Just for visibility factor, because the water in different lighting conditions can contrast your decoys in different ways. But no matter what, it feels like you're always grasping for more visibility on a water hunt.
Sure.
If you're not on an X, so, you know, like the pond they feed in.
Yeah, it comes down to
the shit that. Stack slew that you're hunting.
I think we'll just stick with fields.
Goose hunting, now I think that makes a big difference. I think there's a lot of common mistakes.
Well, and just because last week we were talking decoys and we didn't talk duck decoys. We were pretty much just goose decoys, so let's just keep in that same vein. And that came so for this conversation, for the most part, we're going to be dealing with
honker spreads
in a field.
Okay, well, let's talk about the standard horseshoe between five to ten dozen full bodies. So there's gonna be it works.
Of course it works.
Otherwise, we'd all would have figured it out that it didn't like 50 years ago, but. There's some drawbacks to it that if you like to run horseshoes, there's nothing wrong with it, but keep your eyes peeled for this sort of thing. If it starts to happen, you can make a change on it. First thing that's going to happen is you're going to have birds landing on either the left side or the right side or aiming for that side because that's where the decoys are. So you're going to have the guys if they're landing on the left side, the guys on the right either can't shoot or they're muzzle blasting their friends. Same thing vice versa if they're landing on the right side. So you're not optimizing how many people are...
Can shoot at a flock.
Another thing that happens is if they do line up dead center and start coming right for the dead center of your horseshoe, a lot of time they're not trying to land in the landing zone. They're trying to land on your blinds.
On you.
So let's assume that you're camoed really well and the geese don't give a shit and they're trying to land on you. You call that shot at like 15 yards. The guns get up when they're at about 8 yards. The first shots go off and they're at about 6 yards. And then they split like Moses split the sea. Half of them go left, half of them go right. And almost instantaneously, those birds are out of people's 10-2 shooting lanes immediately.
Yep.
So you end up, again, with the guys on the ends getting muzzle blasted. And say it's a 10-pack of geese. You guys got 4 or 5 out of it, but they really decoyed close compared to if they would have been landing out at 25 yards. You had a chance of getting all 10 of those.
Yeah, the U is alive and well, man. I mean, that's a hard one. That's a hard one to change. Like that is so hard. I think because we've just been seeing it for decades. Like literally, it's been in every magazine.
Everybody stresses realism so much. Realism. You have to look real. 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 Except for the way we put our goddamn decoys out, apparently.
Yeah.
So I've did this thing for like about 2 seasons, and I was really starting to experiment with different ways of like how would birds land within this spread. And what I would do is trailer door opens up. Guys say, how do you want them set? How do you want them set? And I would say, look, guys, it's really tough to set decoys out in the dark and know exactly what they look like. So what we're going to do is do your best to make it look like geese out in a soccer field and then just make it look natural. And then we'll fix whatever needs to get fixed when the sun comes up. And, you know, maybe we only have to move 10% of them and we'll be fine. So here's the trick, though. When the sun came up, I didn't move any.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a good – I like that strategy because I'll kind of do the same thing. We get out there and someone's like, well – How do you want to put these out? I just go, just put them out.
Yeah, and the reason being I did that is because when the sun came up, there was 5 fucking things I wanted to change. Like, ooh, that looks like crap. That's goofy as hell. ooh, I wish we had decoys kind of put out over here. I don't know why those two are facing each other like they're kissing. What the hell is that about? Who did that? I'm like, all right, let's just see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And just run it. And what I realized was, it usually all works out, but I did pick up like a few keys. Like number one, don't be super stressed out about that, about your decoys, especially if you just like don't get in an argument with your buddies over this crap.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you notice like some of those decoying too close problems start happening or flaring out because they are coming right at the blinds, something like that, then you can start to address that issue. But another thing I had learned to look out for was the days when it's not going to work. Like, you can't, some days you just fully flock decoys, U-shape, a blob shape, good goose calling, bad goose calling, it does not matter. You're getting like a 0 to a 2 bird day. Like the dealer gave the geese a full house that morning and you got shit in your hand.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think that's more obvious with like snow geese than almost anything.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like you could run and go ahead and ask the handful of outfitters that do this that have 10,000 full body spreads, permanent spreads out there. Do they smash them every day? No.
No, they get their single digit days.
Yeah, because it's just some days.
Or they're 0 days.
They literally aren't in the mood to either go to a field or go to that field, or they have something total. And then there's days you couldn't do wrong.
They see you there. And sometimes they'll even lock up and come and like look at you out of curiosity. Yeah. I call it a lock and look. They just lock up real quick, look at you, and they keep moving.
Yeah, I mean,
and then the next flock does the same thing.
They're not. They don't. There's no like sense of urgency for them. They're just kind of.
It even happens in like X fields.
Doing what they want to do.
You'll get in an X field, and the first flock comes out, and they just fucking bail hard, and you're like, "Well, that wasn't good." And everybody's looking around at each other. Should we move some decoys? Like, well, we can try.
Exactly.
And then you move a couple around. Flock 2, same thing. Flock 3, same thing. Flock 4, you buck at them at 40 yards. You get 1 or 2 scratchers out of there. You're looking around like, this is the way it's going to go. So I try, on days like that, I try not to make any like conclusion-based, like, this doesn't work, or this, you know what I mean? Like,
and you can kind of, for me, it comes down to reading the bird's body language, you know? And you can, it's like I said, that first flock comes in, they do that, and right away you're like, well, this isn't good. Because almost right away you're like, judging by the way they gave us a look and what they did at that distance, chances are they didn't see anything wrong.
Exactly.
They just were like, yeah, I don't think so.
Or maybe they did see something like, wrong, and there's nothing you can do to prevent it.
But it's the difference is like between just deciding to not do it and a flare. You know?
Right.
Like if they backpedal and you're like, oh shit, or hard right turn or whatever, you're like, okay, they saw something they did not like.
And that's gonna happen too, where
but if
you
they just
think
wander
you do everything
off,
right.
You know, they're just like they look and what'd you call it?
Lock and looks.
Lock and looks, where they're just like, yeah, I don't think so. And they just wander off.
Yeah, lock and looks happen a lot of times on just like curious birds. Like you're in a field, but they're going to water. Or you're
right.
you're in a day loaf spot, which I like to call like sun spots, but it's cloudy.
Yeah, that happens a lot during like what we call like water to water days. They're not coming to your field because
they'll
just
lock up.
They'll
look at you.
Trading water.
Look
loaf
at that.
To water loaf.
They're like window shopping for maybe a food source later.
Yeah, pretty much.
In a weird way.
Window shopping.
And just like on those days, number one, don't make any big assessments about what works, what doesn't. Number two, don't get in a fight with your buddies.
Yeah.
Don't, if somebody's be like, I think we should move decoys. And number three, don't do something crazy like pick the spread up and move it to the other end of the fucking field or something like that. Because now you're paying, I call that paying twice to see the same movie.
Yeah, true. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. If you like, oh, we need to get the spread and put it over on that side of the field. Like, the same movie's playing over there, man. It's the same reel of film on that end of the field. Like, why don't we all just relax?
If the birds wanted to be over there, they'd have just gone over there.
Maybe we'll get a single in here or something like that. We'll all go out for Jimmy John's after. It'll be a good time. Don't worry. You know, let's just relax.
So order pizza, have it delivered to the field, and we'll just sit here all day. I've done that.
But I know me and you have talked about it before, too, like the holes. And, you know, we touched on it a little bit in this podcast, but holes aren't really what's attracting the geese. When a goose is coming into other geese, the least thing it's worried about is, where am I going to land? This isn't a parking lot with a limited amount of spaces, you know, like where they're going, oh, they're all taken up front up there. No, this is a parking lot with infinite spaces. I mean, and they're aiming for what they can see. So for geese, they're the most long distance recognition they have that birds are there, vocalizations, sound. So that's going to start drawing them over. Then they're going to establish the picture of how many are out there. That's, you're going to get through decoy visibility. And that decoy visibility is going to establish their bullseye. Like, just like if you're skydiving and the guy pulls the parachute, down in that big open hayfield, they got a bullseye for that guy to aim for when he's, like, directing the parachute down and is strapped onto you.
Yeah, right.
Nice and tight. So
nut to butt.
Nut to butt, yeah. He's, like, flying the parachute to the bullseye. And that's exactly what geese are doing. They're flying to the bullseye. And the bullseye being what they can see, the geese, their homies. Yeah. If they wanted to land in an open spot at all times, they have no reason to land anywhere fucking close to one another. I mean, you'd see 500 geese in a field, and every one of them would just go land in their own 50-yard patch. You know, like a pair would go over here, an eight-pack would go over there, a family unit there, a group of molts over there. Like, they'd be like, well, I see those over there, but you know how we all hate landing next to each other, guys, right? We hate being around one another. Let's just land way the fuck away from each other. That's what geese do, right?
I don't know about you, Bob, but there's a ewe in that field that looks delicious.
Yeah, they're like coming in. They're like coming into real geese, and they're like, "You look at these assholes. They didn't even leave us a zone.
Yeah,
what
am I supposed to get?
There's no hole here. I mean, I know they're just taking up 0.2% of this 40-acre field, and we could land anywhere else we want to. But since there's no hole, we're gonna go fucking somewhere else.
Yeah,
this restaurant has terrible service.
You made a really good. Video.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
With some paper drawings.
Some paper drawings?
Some graphics could have been
a little
better.
Dude, that was a screenshot of Google Earth, bro.
But it was actually really enjoyed it, and I thought it was hard to dispute. I mean, the way, as far as like what you're trying to do, keeping the birds in front of everybody.
It's on
like
YouTube.
You touched on it earlier. Yeah, what's the title of it?
Let me look it up really quick.
So, like, you know, making sure everybody gets a chance to shoot at these birds. They're not cross-shooting their buddies. You know, they're not muzzle-blasting their buddies. They can shoot their 10 and 2.
It's called My Favorite Goose Decoy Spread. Now, one other decoy spread I want to touch on before we end this thing is...
Okay. Oh, we're not even close to ending this one. All right. Well, we got a couple minutes.
Got a lot of time.
We haven't really got into, like, decoy spreads. Like, how many to use for what thing?
That's what I'm doing right now.
Okay, good. Go.
All right, so people hate no-wind days. I love them. I love hunting honkers in no-wind days. Primarily because it makes your number one tool the most effective it can possibly be, the goose call. Your goose call can stretch as far as it possibly can in all directions with no wind. So now I've just enhanced my number one kill tool. So now the only problem is people set up their spreads fucking wrong for no winds. That's why people are having troubles with shooting birds. They're getting them landing all over the place, getting flare-outs like constant because they're slow working into the spread. So when it comes to hunting on a no-wind day, you're going to want to use as few decoys as possible. Like, if you think you can get away with 9, maybe use 6. That type of thing. Like, you want to use as few decoys as possible. And every one of those decoys you're going to want to set in the area you want to shoot. So another advantage you get, too, with a no-wind day is you can set up anywhere in that field you want. The wind isn't no longer dictating, like, well, with an east wind, we're going to have to hide over on this side of the field. The birds will work in like this, and we'll have to do a cross shot. No, we're going to set up where the fuck we want to set up. And the birds, You can put the roost so it's straight in front of you if you want. You can set up in this patch of grass that's a little taller over there. Now, as long as you know how to set up a spread for a no-win day, you are in the money. Like, I'm just jacked to go hunt a no-wind day because they migrate a little better in no-wind. They know that they can hear each other better in no-wind. They're a little bit more active. I love it. So the key is just put every single goose decoy where you can shoot. If you set up a standard horseshoe with your blinds at the apex, like everybody does for no-wind, that will be bad. Because they're going to come in and land kind of however
they want.
Now, they're going to land close to decoys. We know that much. They're not going to land 150 yards away across the field. They're going to land near your decoys, and they're going to come in at a random angle. So that being known, if you got decoys 10 yards behind you, and geese might land 12 yards behind you, you know, like if you've got decoys off to your hard left, they're going to land on your hard left. You don't want any of that. You want the decoys in a small, concentrated, tiny little pod. If you're using 30 decoys, maybe put them all within a 20-yard radius circle, especially like on an X field where you know the birds are coming to it, and the geese are going to land next to those 30 decoys or amongst the 30 decoys, and all of them will be in all in your shooting range. So when it comes to those no-win days, man, I love them. And that actually works the same, too, for if you have a field where you just don't have a good hide for that certain wind situation, knock it down to like a no-wind decoy spread, because now all of a sudden you're forcing the birds to land. They're going to land somewhere next to that small pot of decoys.
Yeah, even if they have to go over your head.
Even if they have to go over your head.
As long as you have a good hide and they're looking at those decoys.
Exactly. So now you do have a 10-mile-an-hour wind, but it's the worst wind you could ask for this particular
right
situation. Like this field would work for any wind besides south, and it just happens to be south today. It's shit. Like, what are we going to do? The hide is just totally backwards. We'll have wind in our face. Do it.
Huh,
and then do that no-wind spread with a small pot of decoys, because you know where the birds are going to land. That's a problem with big spreads, is big, sprawling, long, 300-400-yard spreads. Those birds are liable. They should work to the calls, but they might land with your decoys 200 yards away.
And I think everybody has seen it before where you got short-stopped, as they say, where it's like they do plop out there kind of in the field by themselves.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. You know? Nothing we really can do about it.
Right. They just decide to go there for whatever reason.
That's a little bit more of an earlier season problem.
Yeah, it is.
And a little family unit issue. I don't really like hunting family units.
Because that's what they do. I mean, when you're out scouting, you see there's 20 here, there's 15 over there, 18 over there. They're not one. They haven't flocked up yet.
No. It doesn't take very long for them to flock up.
No,
but
within,
still, like, early
within a week or two.
In early usually. September, you can still run into those, like, 40, 50 bird feeds, and they're sprawled out a little bit. And you're like,
well, as far as numbers go, it's like, what determines how many decoys you use?
Dude, every day is different. The type of decoy I'm using and the amount of decoys I'm using. But I'm putting them into a couple different categories. Should we do big spread or small spread? Should we do...
So you think there's like a checklist we could kind of formulate?
Ooh,
like,
yes.
You know what I'm kind of saying?
Yes.
Like, okay.
If you think the weather and the birds are stale,
it's like a bracket.
And you
want to
go,
like,
then you're going to want to go realistic and small.
Am I on the X? See here. Am I not on the X? See here. Am I on the field next to the X? See here. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I
guess you determine are you dealing with birds that are coming to your field?
Big or small, tight or loose. That's the way I like to categorize it. Tight spread, loose spread. Because that 300-yard sprawling spread, I do that too. Like, I just have to accept the risk of birds short-stopping or landing with my furthest decoys, because the alternative is to have them flare because they know what the hell I'm doing. You know, so I'm like, I'd rather have the birds landing at 40 yards than having them flare at 50. You know?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So there's always a give and a take, depending on the day. You got to analyze the hand that you're given. You know, if you're given a good hand, you got to make sure you capitalize on it. And if you're having a shit hand, if you get a shit hand dealt to you, just make sure you don't work very hard and you don't fight your buddies.
Yeah. Well, I think a habit a lot of guys run into is they have the decoys, they're going to use them. You know, like,
yes.
I bought 5 dozen decoys. I am putting 5 dozen decoys out.
Yeah, that's
and
very common.
there's no need.
And like on a no win day, and a guy wants to use his 60 decoys, those 5 dozen, and he paid for them. And okay, well, you start putting out 30 of them, and you're like, spread's getting kind of big. What are we going to do with the other 30 of them? Like, well, we'll put them out in a horseshoe and some behind the blinds. Like, God damn it. Like, yeah, I guess. Yeah,
that happened to me on a hunt in Lake Elmo where it was like one of those things, like people had multiple permission for the same field. So we just hunt together, you know? And these, it's like middle of season, these are like heavily pressured birds. Like they've seen the typical, you know, 3.5 dozen or whatever the number was, decoy spreads of the U-shape variety. And I was like, yeah, I'm okay with these people hunting with us for sure, but we either need to do one of two things: go micro spread with the best hide we can possibly get, or I want to run everything and do the refuge spread, because they've seen something they haven't seen, basically, is all.
Just be
I was,
different than the other hunters,
and that's what I was trying. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, I've
and
had
then,
it.
So when they came out, what did we do? We opened up the trailer and ran every decoy they had, and we had about 30, you know, whatever, 3.5 dozen.
There was decoys. A time I think.
God damn it!
The reason I moved and made a DSD investment was 1 year we hunted these birds that were so stale that I guarantee you they did not see our hide and they were bailing because they could just see the decoys. Like as soon as they made a visual contact. I mean, we're hunting X fields. We're staying like active on chasing and scouting them. And they would come out to the field that they were going to eat in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, okie dokie, I'm headed over there now. And I hear some geese over there. I goose call pretty well. So it sounds realistic. And then they go, I see a hunter set up.
Yep.
They weren't seeing our hide because they wouldn't get close enough. Like these things like half a mile away would be like, you could tell them they would get all of a sudden apprehensive and be like, we're going to have to eat somewhere else today, guys. And then, I mean, it wasn't even like a flare-out issue. Nothing would come close to us. I was like, something, they've been
up.
They know exactly what I'm up to out here, and I need to change that.
Yeah,
and then I took some DSDs, and I did like 40 of them, and they were spread out like 120 yards, like but for 40 decoys. And I was kind of hunting at the main pocket of like 9 of them. Like in front of me by 30 yards. And then we started shooting the guns again.
I definitely think thinking outside the box and just during heavily pressured times, stale birds, there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, just the reason they're stale is they've been in the area for a week or two.
Yeah,
they've seen everything. So
they get familiar with the hunters too.
Oh, for sure. And their patterns. They'll probably start coming to the field different times of the day. I mean, almost every hunter, no matter what it is, whether deer hunting, whatever, after a while, these creatures, they live in the wild all day, every day.
I think they instinctively know when they're being pursued by a predator.
Well, I think there might be something to be said for that.
They just know, like, in these scenarios, I am pursued. In this situation, I am not. Like,
some creatures are more creatures of habit than others, and humans are probably at the top of the list.
Yeah, like those same geese that you got to like shoo off the golf green to make your putt. And you're like, these stupid city geese. Those are the exact same geese that you're hunting in November, December, January that won't come within 500
that
yards.
That are flaring. Yeah. They know what belongs where, when.
Exactly. And they're situationally aware like that. So what I'm always searching for, I guess, like when I'm doing this traveling around the world stuff is I'm looking for their golf course. Like where can you catch these things slipping so hard? They think they're at the golf course.
Yeah, they think they're relaxed, but they're...
And there's places out there where you can legally hunt, and the birds just do not expect it. I call it like...
You literally could just sit in a lawn chair with beer and probably
Got the cruise control set and the Beach Boys jamming, pretty much. Like, it's a beautiful sunny day, and you're on the freeway, right? How nervous are you? 75 miles an hour, cruise set, Beach Boys jamming a little bit, and got one hand up on the steering wheel, the other one on the back seat of the other, you know, the headrest of the other seat. Now, that's when they're at the golf
really
course.
Really old reference for a young guy.
I was just thinking of, like, summer cruising, you know?
Help me, Rhonda.
I can't even name a Beach Boys song. I just threw it out there.
Help me, Rhonda.
But, okay, now take it to where you're driving. Same truck, same everything, except it's a 50-mile-an-hour crosswind. There's snowdrifts coming across the road. I mean, you're fucking white-knuckling it.
Yeah, you're
paying
attention.
Beach Boys playing. Yeah, right. Nothing. There ain't nothing. No radio. Somebody talks to
you.
Like, shut up.
You turn the radio down so you can see better.
Shut up. I'm paying attention to the road. Like, fuck you. I hate this driving. That's what the geese mentality is when they know they're being pursued. They got their knuckles tight. They're paying attention to everything. And you just got to You got to not have anything to make them notice. Like, and you catch them on the golf course mentality. They got full volume, volume 11, cruise control set. Like, going to get some food today. Boom.
Yeah, that's
true. And that's kind of the difference. Same birds, different scenarios.
So how do we choose? Because we haven't really – we've talked about, like
– how do you choose a spread? You got to do it based on experience. And if you don't know exactly what to do, call somebody who does. And I'm going to start this thing where I was doing a migration report last year.
You're going to do like the goose spread hotline?
No, I'm going to do an observation.
You're going to get a ton of calls,
I'm going to start an observational library where like a reference library of like it's no longer going to be migration reports. It's going to be observation reports because you might be a dog shit hunter that I really wouldn't want to take advice from hunting. But if you tell me geese flew 10:30 a.m., cloudy, 45 degrees. You are not lying, and you are not wrong, and everybody can use that information because it's so situationally dependent. Every day is different. If that, then this. You know, if the weather's this, then you do that.
Is there like something super basic, just to wrap this one up and to simplify it? Like, what equates to more decoys? What equates to less decoys? Would you just go
if you need draw power? Migration. If you're going to use draw power, you're going to need high contrast field. Lots of decoys. If you're doing stale birds, lots of them in the area, probably going to get looked at a bunch. Maybe it's better to go small spread, good hide, less hunters, and ultra realistic decoys.
X versus not being, running traffic, I guess would probably be the most basic.
Traffic, you still can do a lot of very successful hunts with small decoy spreads in traffic fields, but you need to have visibility of them. They need needs to be a high contrast field. So if you want to do I've trafficked, like late season where you got 2,000 birds going to an X field, but it's like a plowed cornfield. I'm not going to fucking hunt it. And I got permission on the field next to it that's a hay field. And I've done a lot of successful small spread traffic hunts. People a lot of times will like to use big spreads traffic hunting, and that's good too. But if it's that stale birds, they've kind of seen it all. They're familiar with the hunters in the area. I'm going to go with like a small, like one time I did like 18 DSDs one of the last days of the season and just traffic birds. We shot our limit at the boot bags. I mean, it's very low percentage, but when you do that like small spread ultra realistic stuff, I like to say every goose is a maybe. You never get a goose that's a fuck no. Like, you never get geese that are like absolutely not. No, 98% of the geese might just say maybe, nah, but they never say no, and 2% of them go maybe, yeah, I'm gonna do it. And when they do it, they do it hard.
And you died.
Yeah, so small spreads for when it counts, big spreads for when you need the draw power. It just depends who's got the better hand.
Right.
And learning how to determine who got dealt what is going to be a huge, huge learning experience and it will assist you in killing more birds on a day-to-day basis. If you're doing what the birds did yesterday and you're planning for that today, about 30% of the time you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, because it's going to change. And I was just going to say, like, if you're a typical weekend warrior like most of us are, here's a good way of looking at it. Unless the conditions are exactly the same as they were last weekend, if you hunt Saturday and exactly the same, if you're setting the exact same spread that you did last Saturday, it's a good chance it's probably not the right move, unless it didn't work last week.
The most common,
it might work this week just by chance. But
most common, like, we got effed scenario I see are guys that hunt loafs, day loafs, and the day loaf will be just jam-packed loaded with chilling geese when you get permission on it. 200 to 400 of those things just looking like they're home. You get permission for the next day, next day's cloudy.
Yeah,
guess what, you're seeing nothing. That's the most common one. I guess I get messages all the time like, what do you think's going on, the birds didn't come back today, let me see your spread, it's pasture pond, it's cloudy. I'm like, yeah, they're just put it in your pocket. Put that thing in your pocket and make sure you ask for permission on a sunny day. And don't hunt it on a cloudy day because you are going to be bored.
Are they just not going to loaf on a cloudy day?
No, most loafing activity does not happen on cloudy days. That's why I kind of call them sunspots.
I see. Yeah, I can see that. But I have noticed that a lot of the water to water days is when it's wet.
Rainy. Mm-hmm. Rainy, you'll get a lot of birds that stick out in the fields for quite a while.
Yeah, they might go to the field to stay there.
And they might not go out to a field for a long time either. It's going to be a long...
And that's where I've seen birds traveling. I know where the ponds are, and I just... You can see the traffic. And they're not moving in big in big groups. It's like
yeah, smaller
one
groups.
Or two little groups trade and this the, way, the and then some is, go back that way.
I think there's a brightness factor that shuts down goose activity. Like as soon as when the sun comes up, when it gets to a certain height, the geese are inactive, the midday inactivity, mm-hmm. and they're out on a loaf, chilling, scratching their backs, taking naps under the trees. Yep. You know, they're just enjoying the, not enjoying it, but they're not active in bright conditions. And when they have a cloudy day that's going to be cloudy all day, they got 7 hours to take care of their errands.
Right,
you know,
right.
They don't have to run out and go get the groceries and go to the bank before they have to get back to the loaf.
Right.
You know, so that kind of forces all the birds to do everything at once, like in the morning when it's a sunny day. When it's rainy, you got birds doing whatever they want when they need to do it. But
yeah. All right, well, this one's getting long, so let's wrap this one up.
All right, we're done.
So that's decoy spreads and all sorts of theories on it.
Fucking Alexa.
God damn. Government listening.
Dude, they always are.
Yep, always listening.